give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to episode 9 of the Rare is Fundamental podcast. And I should have been a voice actor, because I do a really good creepy voice. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Because no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 9. I am your host, Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray, and also known as the NBA blogger of the No Look Pass, but I tend to talk about other things as well besides NBA basketball. Last episode, I talked about wrestling with Glenn Moore. A few episodes back, I talked about Britney Spears with Adam Reisinger, and I talked about the Asian American sitcom Fresh Off the Boat with the Fong Brothers. So basically, this podcast is really no longer an NBA basketball podcast, but more about the things that interest me, whatever's hot off the streets, the fundamentals of life. That's what it's all about. So, before I got into NBA blogging / writing, I was a huge part of the anime convention community around 98. That's a long time ago. I met this guy named Joe, who I met through my cousin, and he talked about this thing called Anime Expo a lot. And he asked me if I knew people who were into anime so that I could bring them along. And I remember my old workplace, which was at a game store, that certain customers were into anime. So I became friends with them, and then I introduced them to Joe, and the rest was basically history. I am still friends with those same customers that came into my game store around 17 years ago. Before 98, I had watched anime here and there. When I was growing up in the Philippines, they would show certain anime, Voltus 5 or Daimos. Those were the names of the shows. And I didn't know that anime was a certain genre. And then in 10th grade, I watched Rama 1/2. The premise of that show was the main character, who is a boy, turns into a girl when soaked with cold water, and his dad turns into a panda. So they're trying to basically get rid of that little curse that they got. And that was a funny show. I watched Sailor Moon later that year, and then when I got interested in Anime Expo, I got into a few other series like Neon Genesis Evangelion, Golden Boy, just so I wouldn't look like an idiot, you know? And the anime conventions were a staple of my life for a long time. I saw the anime community grow through these conventions. I befriended a lot of people during those times. They were into video games, the whole thing about cosplay, which I arguably is, I think, bigger than anime now because people like dressing up, whether it's anime characters or video game characters or whatever. I hosted 3 cosplay contests at a little convention called Animagic. That doesn't exist anymore. Those were fun times. Formed a lot of friendships. I even got a romantic relationship out of that. So it was a really good time. I even said to other people, oh, I would go to these anime conventions forever. I was so foolish. Because I did eventually quit around 2006. Because, well, I had stopped watching anime consistently around 2001. I still watch it once in a while, and as I speak right now, I'm trying to finish up the first 3 seasons of Slayers. Remember the anime? Nina Inverse, Gowri, Zelgadis, Amelia. But yeah, I got bored at anime conventions. I just stopped going. They just weren't interesting anymore. I stopped by Anime Expo the past few years in LA, but, you know, I only stayed there for a couple of hours just to say hi to friends. It doesn't interest me anymore, and that's okay. People grow out of hobbies and interests all the time. So, and I grew out of that one. What interested me back then also was voice acting, because there was this real battle of subs versus dubs, and we're talking about subtitled anime versus English anime overdubs, basically. I'm not sure if it's still hotly contested to this day. I'm not even sure why it was hotly contested, but I was I was perfectly fine with dubs. I just enjoy it for what it is, and it entertains me. And even for a hot second, I thought, hey, maybe I can be a voice actor, but I never got super serious with it because I know it takes a lot of dedication to find a perfect voice, to find the perfect tone, and to find a character's motivation so you can get the right emotion for the character. So I bring up voice acting because I am talking to Matthew Mercer, who's a prominent anime and video game voice actor. He was also one of the people that I befriended during my anime phase. So he's done a lot of video game voiceover, Street Fighter 4, the Ace Combat series, Tekken 6, and a lot more. And of course, I mentioned anime. He's done Bleach, Naruto, Cowboy Bebop. He's perhaps well known for doing Levi on Attack on Titan. And he's gonna do Prince Diamond for Sailor Moon really, really soon. So yeah, this is actually pretty cool that I get to talk to him. I haven't really talked to him in a long time, so this is basically a good time to catch up with Matthew Mercer. So, here we go.
On the line, voice actor of your favorite anime and video games. Let's see, he's done Attack on Titan, he's gonna do Sailor Moon soon, and he's done various video games like Tekken 6, Resident Evil 6, Soul Calibur 5, Mortal Kombat, and he's gonna do Tales of Zillia, which I'm gonna play very soon.
That's right.
Wow. Matthew Mercer, man, it's been so long, dude. How's it going?
Been way too long, man. Been well. Been crazy.
Yeah, it's like I've known you since when? 2003, I want to say.
2003, I think. Yeah, so about 12 years.
Yeah, and weren't you already doing some voice acting even before when we first met?
Little bits and pieces here and there. I was just kind of dabbling in the industry and, you know, had a couple of small opportunities that gave me enough of an appetite to actively pursue it a little ways down the road. But yeah, man, it's been an interesting ride.
Yeah, and you were doing improv for a while, I think, too, right?
Yep, performed improv in LA for a good long while, both through LA Connection and I.O. But it's been a while for me. Most of my improv days seem to be around either film shoots or playing Dungeons and Dragons, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of trippy because, like, now you're all over the place. You're going to all these anime conventions. You're on panels now. It's like,
isn't this trippy?
It's been very interesting. You know, I've been going to conventions since 97. I went to AX in 97, and I'm definitely a geek and a fan first. And so just kind of being able to transition my fandom, my own personal, you know, emphasis and love of gaming and cartoons and being able to transition that into a career was something I didn't even think was possible. Mm-hmm. But after working my ass off for many years, I forced myself to make it my business. So,
right. I mean, what did you want to be when you grew up? You didn't think, oh, I'm going to be a voice actor.
No. Originally, I thought I was going to be an animator. I wanted to go into illustration and animation.
Mm-hmm. You still want to do that now?
No, I'm too out of practice now, man. I love art. I still sketch on my own, you know, just for fun on the side. But as far as actually making a living as an artist, I pulled out of that avenue right as I was going into college for it. And I think my skills have not improved since. Probably even deproved? No. So I don't think art, a future in art is necessarily in the cards. But I'm happy with how things are for now.
Mm-hmm. I kind of got out of anime like around, what, 2005, 2006 or whatever. My last full weekend for a convention was AX 2006.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time, man. What was your first big role? Because now I feel kind of stupid just talking to you, and it's like I really haven't dabbled in anime in so long.
Yeah, no worries. My first big role as far as like Japanese anime or video games are concerned would probably be...
Yeah.
It was Ace Combat 5. I got to play a character named Albert Jeanette, who was kind of the narrator of the story, and that was my first real, like, main character part I'd ever really received. And that was really the role that gave me the idea that I should look into this more. I should really actively pursue this and put more energy and effort towards it. And so that was the first one that, for me, was big. One of the real breakout roles for me in games, or pretty much anything that really kind of got my name out there, was probably Leon Kennedy in Resident Evil, or Tigra in Thundercats. Those are the two, I think, that really kind of stuck out.
Yeah, looking into that, it's like, I didn't even know they rebooted Thundercats. Like, I loved Thundercats back in the day. Lionel, man. Panther, Tigra, yeah. So I didn't even know they rebooted that thing.
Yeah, it was cool. We did a whole first season of that on Cartoon Network. It went really well, and met a lot of great people through it. And I myself grew up a Thundercats fan, too, so being able to be a part of that franchise was kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you audition for roles, do you look for a specific role, or do you just do whatever's out there?
It depends. The process usually is you're sent – if it's through your agency sifts through the roles that are submitted to them, and they then kind of divvy them out based on what they know their clients can do. So I don't get a blanket package of, like, here's all the characters, pick and choose. Although I know some agencies might do that. My agency knows my range. They're very familiar with what I can do. And so they'll send me characters that fit my realm, fit my specialities. And if I feel like maybe I want to stretch it a little bit, I'll request and be like, make sure, you know, send me things that are a little stranger or weirder, and I'll give it a shot. But for the most part, the agency picks based on my range.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with more Matthew Mercer after this promo and after this song break.
This is Ernest E.J. Christian of the Ernest Speaking Podcast, and you are now tuned in to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Here's the second half of the interview with voice actor Matthew Mercer.
Let me preface that, like, before, like, looking through your, hearing through your reel, basically, like, I didn't know you were in such games like Street Fighter 4, and Tales of Zillia and all that, but, like, when I was, it's just funny that I've heard your work, but I just didn't know it was you, you know? It's kind of weird, so.
good, yes.
Yeah, so, you're still a gamer. Like, is it weird when you play games and it's like, hey, I worked on this game, and, like, pretend you're playing Street Fighter 4 or whatever. Like, does it feel weird to you ever?
it's a little weird at first. You have to get used to that. Especially as an actor, when I listen to myself in a project I've worked on that I'm playing, I come at it with a very critical ear. You know, I'm listening for any ways I can improve upon it, things or choices I could have made that would have made it stronger. So I come at it now with more of a critical actor eye. But when I first started out, it was just a very weird combination of both geeky success, like, oh my god, I'm in this game, and also this weird, like, oh my god, I'm in this game. Hope I don't ruin it.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about, like, quote unquote ruin it. It's a little hot between, like, subtitle anime and dubbed anime, because that was hot in the 90s and the early 2000s. Do we still get a lot of that right now?
Not as much as we used to, thankfully. I think the level of quality and actors that are working in the anime industry are a whole different ballgame comparison to what started that whole trend. Back in the in the 90s, the late 80s or the 90s, it was kind of one of those circumstances. There were some good actors out then, don't get me wrong, but there were some actors that just kind of like, let me just grab my uncle and have him say a line for us, or, hey, you on the street, you want to do cartoons? You know, it was a little less stringent in their both the respect for the cartoons and the quality of actors that were brought in. Nowadays, the people they bring in to audition and record for it are actors that work in all forms of media, all forms of voiceover, and are very talented. So I think there is that stigma still. It's hard to get out of that stigma, especially when there's been a whole generation of people that are like, no, screw the English, only Japanese. And that's fine. That's their preference, and I'm not going to hold that against them because that's the original, you know, media that it was created for. That's cool. Go for you. But I think they're missing out on a lot of really high quality, really heartfelt dubs that have, I think, are every bit as respectful and quality level, same presentation level as the Japanese.
Do you personally get a lot of that? Like, oh my god, you ruined this character.
No, thankfully not really. I'm always worried about that, especially if it's a character that has a big fan base. Like with Attack on Titan, I was very nervous about that because I didn't realize at the time just how big a Levi was as far as a fan favorite. You know, and at the very beginning when they started releasing stuff, people were like, oh, the voice is different from the Japanese. I hate it. But after a short time, that kind of faded away, and most everyone has been very positive about it. So it doesn't bother me one way or another. If there's one thing the film and television industry teaches you, it's to not let anything bother you. Your whole career is based in rejection. You are constantly rejected, so you just don't bother you.
You're kind of a celebrity now these days, unlike 12 years ago when we were just like, you know, young guys just like messing around at anime conventions and whatnot. You're kind of a celebrity now. What's your worst fan experience so far?
I feel so funny
asking that because we've been friends for so long and you know our status has kind of changed over the years and now it's like so what's your worst fan experience now, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. My worst fan experience, I won't go into detail. I'll say there was a fan that faked being intoxicated with the intent of propositioning me.
Oh, wow.
That only happened once, and that was a very awkward, like, okay, no, I gotta go. You should let me out of here. But other than that, like, everyone's been really cool. Fans I've always met have been very wonderful and very respectful and genuine, and it's been a wonderful experience going to all these cons and meeting him.
Biggest perks so far as a celebrity voice actor?
Biggest perk?
Besides going to cons.
the travel is definitely a big perk. I'd say other than that, being able to bite off all the video games I buy as tax deductions, that's nice.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. You're doing Prince Diamond Sailor Moon. Did you ever envision getting that role?
No. Sailor Moon is one of those things we all grew up with. It's been around for so long. It's so beloved and has been running around the world. So to be a part of that, even in any degree, let alone a character like that, is a huge honor. It's huge. Mm-hmm. I remember that showing on television when I was like a freshman in high school. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, Cartoon Network. I think it was my junior, senior year where it's like I record the Sailor Moon episodes off TV with VHS. Oh, my
God.
Yeah, VHS, and we watched like all 65 episodes or whatever was out there, and I love the American soundtrack and everything. Oh, my God. It's – goodness sake, Sailor Moon. Oh, man. Was that the first anime you watched?
No, the first anime I ever really watched was Dragon Ball Z, but it was in Japanese with Korean subtitles.
Whoa, that's trippy.
I don't know Korean or Japanese, so my friend...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, my friend who was Korean, who got all the episodes, like bootleg VHSs from his Korean video store, we'd watch an episode, and then I'd be, cool, so what happened? After the fact, and then so he'd tell me what actually transpired.
I was going to say, like, was he actually translating during the show? Because that would have been, like, really weird, too.
Yeah, no, I waited until after. That way, at least he could enjoy it, and I could try and make up my own idea of what was happening, and then he'd just confirm it at the end.
So besides getting Prince Diamond instead, when you were also the People's Choice winner of the Behind the Voice Actors, Voice Actor of the Year, and Best Supporting Voice Actor of the Year, wow, you've done quite a bit, Matthew Mercer.
I didn't expect that either. That was a really, really wonderful honor. I was happy to be included at all in that ballot because there were so many other talented actors on that list. And the fact that people voted for me, I'm still beside myself, and I thank them all for the show of appreciation.
Yeah, and also this, like, you also have your own Wikipedia page now. Like, that was kind of like my life goal. Isn't that kind of trippy, too? Like, God, I've been spending time talking to you, like, how trippy everything is so far, because I'm so proud of you, and you've done so much since we really last talked, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, it has been that long. Jesus.
Yeah, right?
Man, like, it's been an interesting journey since then, definitely.
Yeah, like, it's funny, because we kind of ran in the same circles, but we never really talked since then, you know, because we have a lot of mutual friends, but we never, like, really spent time talking to each other and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, it's that whole, like, being adult thing. Damn it.
Like, what is this, being an adult, being responsible, having a job? Like, what is all this, you know?
Wait, I can't.
Last question. If you can have any voice gig, past, present, future, what's the dream gig? What would you like to do?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, a part of me definitively would love the idea of taking over for the voice of Sephiroth in the Final Fantasy VII franchise.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
I know, but George Newbern does a great job, and if whatever he leaves, I'd be happy to take over for him. If not that, if we're still talking video games, I'd love to voice Magus from Chrono Trigger, if they ever did that.
Nice!
And as far as other media, if they ever made a cartoon series about Neil Gaiman's Sandman, I would love to be Morpheus in that. So those are kind of the top ones that come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. You still cosplay?
Oh, no. I mean, like, Halloween and costume theme parties, yes, but it's one of those things where I enjoyed the hobby thoroughly, and I met some of the best people, you know, present company included, through that hobby. I'm very thankful for the time I spent involved in that community, but in order to pursue this career, which is a very risky, very time and money intensive career, I had to let all that side stuff go. So I lived in my tiny little studio apartment in North Hollywood, subsisting off ramen daily. And trying to make a career out of this.
I thought you had a mesh by now after all these awards and having all these gigs and everything.
Oh, I wish. I wish. I live in a slightly bigger apartment now in Sherman Oaks. So,
great. Moving on up, right?
Exactly.
Matt, it's been a pleasure. Let's do this again another time. Cool?
Definitely.
Hey, this is Glenn Moore from Cleveland, Ohio, the host of the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show. And you're tuned in to Ray Ray is Fundamental, probably the best podcast on the West Coast, if not the whole USA.
You flatter me, Glenn. Thanks to Matthew Mercer for coming onto the podcast. As I told him, I am so proud of how far he's come. He's an old friend. He's basically now one of the best voice actors out there. Again, if you're an anime fan and you don't mind watching it in English, he's on Attack on Titan as Levi, and he'll be playing Prince Diamond and Sailor Moon. As for gaming, he is mostly in the Ace Combat series. He has voiceovers in Tekken 6, as well as Street Fighter 4, and many, many more. Follow him on Twitter at Matthew Mercer, I hope you can spell. And you can go to his website at MatthewMercerOnline.com. And he does other geeky things too. He does a Dungeons & Dragons livestream show called Critical Role on Twitch TV. So if you're into that, check that out. I know the interview was a little short, but I was only able to get him on such an awkward time that I could only talk to him for about 15 minutes. I will have him on another time, and I promise that we will have a longer talk, and maybe we can get into some more geeky talk, because I know you like that. It's sexy. Anyway, as you know, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rareray.net, and pretty soon you'll find the show on Stitcher as well. And if you want to get updates on the show on Twitter, follow the podcast account on Ray Is Fun. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, you can follow me at the No Look Pass, where I talk about basketball and everything else about the fundamentals of life. That's all I got. Gal Pal Squad, thanks for taking care of me. Everybody, please take care of yourself. Matt Mercer, thanks again for catching up with me. And just remember, Ray is fundamental. And you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Is that right? Whatever. By the way, is that girl your messenger now?
Game over, yeah! Moded.